Yes, my name is Nathan. I'm from Olympia, Lacey, Washington. But that's not where I live anymore. I live in Spain. And I've been in Spain about 5 years now. And it was kind of in an odd time in my life when I moved to Spain. I did not know exactly what I was doing exactly. I was like, oh, I'm 18. What should I do with my life? You know, how many of us know that? And so my youth pastor at the time, which is a friend of Heather's, he decided to do this YWAM thing to be staff at the base in Madrid. And he said, hey, Nate, I know you're 18. You don't know what you want to do with your life. You want to come with me for 5 months? And I was like, I don't know if I have like 5 months with me, but why not? You know, why not? And in those 5 months, that changed my life. In those five months, I realized what God wanted me to do, what Jesus wants me to do. And those 5 months have became the last 5 years of my life. So amen to that. I will pray just to invite God into what I'm saying. So yeah, Jesus, I just want to thank you. Thank you for this time. And yeah, Jesus, I don't want to share about me. Please. I mean, I love to share about me, but that's not why I'm here. I don't want to just do that. I want to share about you and share what you have put on my heart, what you have put on in my mind. And yeah, Jesus, we ask that you lead, that I'm not leading this, that no one else, but that you lead this. Thank you that you're here, and thank you that you're inside each one of us. Thank you. Amen. So, just so to get to know me a little bit and what I do, I am a missionary to Spain, but being a missionary to Spain with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, is a little bit different than some other missionaries. I'm located in Spain, but I travel another 5 months out of the year to other countries. And so in that sense, I am in Spain, and then I take teams who come to Spain, who spend 5 months, who did what I did, for 2 months to other countries. And so in 2017, I was in about 8 to 9 countries, and I'll share a little bit about what those countries look like. Some of them are Muslim countries that are closed off, where we cannot go in and share openly our faith, but we go in as students or sightseeing even, and we share our faith with people. And some of them, such as India, which I've been to a few times, is not a closed off country, but it's definitely a challenging place. But I think just so you guys know me and know how a little bit more about what I do, I'm kind of the coordinator of those. So I plan them, I run them. I've ran the last one, and I took a team to Belgium. And so that's basically what I do. That's a lot of discipleship, a lot of having one-on-ones with people and sharing and speaking to their lives. Because a lot of times when you get people who come for 5 months, just for 5 months, kind of like me, they know about Jesus here, but they don't know about Jesus here. You know, they know, oh yeah, Jesus, he saved me, but they don't know Jesus one-on-one. And in those 3 months, in those months before we leave Spain, we get to have the opportunity of sharing and the opportunity of speaking to people's lives and showing them their identity in Christ. Because, I mean, we all have an identity in Christ. We all have the DNA of Christ in us. But some of us don't know it. And so we have to share. We have to counsel and speak into that. And the other 2 months, you see, it's kind of tested, you know. When you go out and you go to a country, you go like Nepal. When you go to Nepal and you're up in a village and there's no water, there's no bathrooms, and you're there for almost a month, that's definitely, you get challenged. People, and just living one-on-one with people, it's sometimes challenging. But in these moments, that's when you come out, and when you have the opportunity of when Jesus comes out in you. And so I want to share a little bit about that, like about the identity in Christ. So I want to read out of John 21. Excuse me. I use my phone, but but John 21, 1 to almost the end. So do we have it? Okay. So, John 21:1. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana, and I can't say the names very well, so excuse me about that. The son of Zebedee and the two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, well, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they came. They caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. Number five, he called them out, friends, haven't you had any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did this, they were able to haul the net in because of the large number of fish they were unable to. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. The other disciple followed in the boat, pulling the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a pile of burning coal, there with a fish on it, some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. So Simon climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Then the disciples dared ask him, who you are? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Feed my lambs, said Jesus. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you stretched out your hands and someone else would dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You follow me. That's where I was beat out of. But I think this something to be said about John 21. For me, John 21 is a chapter of the Bible I love so much, just because it's kind of, at the end of John 20, it kind of gives you the blessing. So you kind of think it's kind of done, you know, John is kind of done. But then John 21 is there, and it kind of is a reminder. And I think it's a reminder of what? It's a reminder of Jesus telling the disciples who they are, because they were fishermen and they were going fishing. That seems simple, yeah. But I mean, this is after Jesus came back from the dead and they decide, hey, we should go fishing. How many of us seen someone who died, came back to life and decide, hey, I want to go fishing, you know? I mean, that's a little bit, if I saw someone who was alive, dead and came back to life, would I be the same? No. But they treated it like it was the same. And I think a lot of times when we go to God, we see God do these amazing things. And then we just, oh, I would go fishing. And there's nothing wrong with fishing. Fishing is beautiful. But sometimes we do not know. Sometimes we forget our calling. We forget what God called us to do. I think that's the thing, knowing our identity in God. Also, I like about John 21, it says in the part where Jesus is talking to Peter and said, do you love me? It's interesting when he said that, is he says it three times. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. I don't think it's Jesus rubbing salt in the wound, Jesus being mean, you know, because I think it's Jesus honestly reminding Peter of who he is in him. Taking that memory of him denying him and taking and saying, hey, you denied me, but I know that you love me. I know. And I think that's the thing a lot of times in missions and in life in general. And we forget who we are. We forget what God has done in our lives, you know. What I do sometimes is challenging because you spend 5 months living with people doing incredible things. And after those 5 months, you see people and they go back to fishing. You go back to their lives. And I always ask God, Jesus, remind them. Remind them of who they are. Remind them of what you put inside of them. I think so much in John 21 is about that. It's not about just them having breakfast with Jesus on all that, but it's about them knowing Jesus for who he actually is. And so, it's all good. No, it's all good, yo. It's all good. If you want, you can silence your phones. And so, yeah, I think it's so interesting this how that reminder is. So I think in my life right now, 2017 was definitely an interesting year. It was a year of a lot of pushing. I led my first discipleship training course, my DTS. I led it by myself with someone else, but I was never the leader, never one person. And it was such a challenging time in my life. But in that same sense, it was a time in my life where God reminded me of my dependence on him and who I am in him. And I think each one of us, if you can keep with one thing I say in this time, let it be that your identity in Christ is something you need to hold on to. Because if you look at the disciples, both John and Peter, their lives were something that I can't even imagine living. And they held on to that. They held on to that hope. And that's a hope that we all have, the identity in Christ, the identity of who we are in him. And so I just want to share that. And I think last year, there was a moment in my life where it came up, and I want to share it. So I have a photo I want to put up. If I'm in the way, the lighting's not so good, but that's me. And as a child, and I was in India, in Pune, India. And I shared this story last night, but I didn't have a photo. But this was kind of when I realized that this is not maybe 5 years, this is my life, and this is what God called me to. This was in a daycare, and it's like a daycare like any other daycare you might see, but this daycare was a daycare for kids of prostitutes. And so the kids, they went, instead of being in the offices and being where the moms were doing their job, they had a place to stay. And we just had the time to share Jesus with these kids. And you imagine that these kids, some of them, they don't sleep at night. They can't. So they sleep there. They just pass out there. But I had an opportunity. She came up to me and she asked me to hold her. And I held her. And she started singing this song. I think we all know it. Jesus loves me, this I know. And I started singing it back to her. And I don't even know the words to that song, to be honest. but in that moment, it brought up to the realization of there's no other place that God wanted me at any other moment in my life. No other place. At that moment, God wanted me there. God wanted me there. And I think that's the thing. God wants each one of us. God has plans for each one of us. Because if I just share this story, it's a beautiful story. It's bittersweet, to say the least, but it ends at that. If it's about me, but I think each one of us, God has a calling. God has a purpose. God has a passion for each one of us. And I think maybe it's not India. Maybe it's not even outside of the United States. Maybe it's in Idaho. But Jesus wants us to be the light in the places where there's no light, in the places where if I knew, I wouldn't go there. But Jesus said, go. Jesus said, be there. Share love to this kid. And it was so amazing. It was so amazing because afterwards, the families of the kids, they heard about what we were doing. And they invited us to go to their houses and share the gospel with them. And you think, and if I ever saw some place that looked like hell, it was those houses. Because that's where they do their job as well. And going there and them giving us tea, and them showing us hospitality. And you know that these kids come from that side of town, to say the least. It is, showing Jesus to those people, having the opportunity of showing Jesus to those people, there was no other place that God wanted me at that moment. And I think each one of us, God is there. God has his plans, has his passions, has his calling on each one of our lives. And I think some of us are like Peter. Some of us go out and forget about that calling, forget about what God wants us to do. And we need to be humble enough to go up there to Jesus. And Jesus asks us, do you love me? And say yes or no. And he will tell you that calling. How many times in my life did I doubt my calling? A lot. But in moments like that, and I know most of us will not live experiences like that, but God wants us to be light in our neighborhood. God wants us to be light in Idaho, in Lacey, Washington, wherever you're from. God wants us to be the light, and God wants us to shine as bright as we can. And maybe, you will make impact. You will make an impact on people in India. You will make impact because I think something I realize all the time in missions is that it takes a body. It's definitely not just me. I'm not Superman. I'm not doing it by my own, but it takes a body and it takes each one of us doing that small bit. That small bit of reaching out, that small bit of showing Jesus where we're at. And that builds a chain all the way to India, all the way to Spain, where I'm located, all the way to Belgium, all the way to all these places. It builds this chain. I just think another point I want to make is that sometimes missions, we think, oh, it's only India. But there's a mission field wherever we're at. Because we're Christians, and God calls us in the Gospels to go to everybody. That includes everybody. That includes Indians. That includes everybody. Refugees coming in from Syria, Europeans, Spanish, people like me, church people. That includes everybody. Jesus wants us to go out and wants us to be like here, there, everywhere. So I want to encourage you guys to take some time and take a minute and just ask God at the end of this time, ask God where, how, and because we all have a position. It's like in football, like line battles. Without the line battles, the quarterback would die every single time, you know? But the line battles protect the quarterback. And so maybe God is calling some of you guys to be quarterbacks Some of you lying about us, some of you receive us, but each one of you has an opportunity of being a part of what God, what Jesus is calling us to do. And so I think more, I remember another time in my life where I remember when many times in my life where it was very much about how much I could live, how much I could do this. When I was in youth, I didn't realize this at the time, because I mean, how many of us realize that we're selfish at the time? But I was very selfish, you know? I was very much about me. I was very much about when I was 15 and went to Spain on a mission trip, it was very much about me. But God used those times, even my selfishness, God used those times to promote something, to promote a passion to do what God wants. So I think sometimes the motivations are not always there, but I think God uses that anyway. I think God calls us to search Him and to look at Him and say, God, as Peter did, to say, Jesus asks, do you love me? And you say, yes. Then He says, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Something else in the Bible, in the scriptures that we read, was at the end when Peter looked back and saw John, and he said, what about him? How many of us do that as well in our lives? We say, oh, what about this person? They can do more. What about this person? They can do more. And I think Jesus nailed it. I think saying, I'm going to read it because I don't want to misquote Jesus, you know. But if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Sometimes Jesus sounds a little bit like mean. like, what are you talking about, Peter? But I think it's so true. Sometimes we focus so much on others in the sense of what do they get instead of what can we give to them? What can we give to those around us? What can we give to those? And so I think to end this time, I spoke a little bit faster than I thought, so excuse me for that. But to end this time, I just wanna take a time of prayer and take a time of praying and asking God, what is your call on my life? And if you had a call, you kind of feel like you forgot it, you feel like you don't remember it, you need a reminder. Ask Jesus to remind me, remind you, remind us, because we all need to be a part of this. We all need to be a part of what He's doing inside this area, inside the church as a body, inside the United States, inside North America, everywhere. He needs each one of us. There's no bench warmers. There's no people sitting on the bench. Yeah, we can't have that. We can't have that. And so I want to take a moment, maybe 5-10 minutes, and that we can pray, that we can bow our heads and we can just ask Jesus. And something I learned when I was studying counseling, I studied counseling a few months back, was that silence is okay. And so in this moment of silence, in this moment, it might be a little bit like you hear people breathing. Just listen to God and let's listen to what He has for you. So yeah, Jesus, I just want to thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Yeah, Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can listen to your voice. Listen to what you have for us. Listen to what you're saying to us. And Jesus, if there's anything stopping us from listening to what you're saying to us, what you're saying about us, saying about our identity in you, Jesus, we just ask that you shut those voices up, you shut that up, and you say, Jesus, I only want to hear you. I only want to hear what you say. And Jesus, we just ask that inside each one of the people here. each one of these members of your body. Jesus, we ask that we can hear your voice, hear what you're calling us to do. Not because you're calling us because you need us even, but calling us because you want us. Jesus, we thank you for that. We thank you that you want us so much, that you gave your life, that you gave. Yeah, that you gave. You gave your life for us. And that we have the opportunity to give all lives, all passions, all desires to you. And Jesus, we thank you for that. And Jesus, we ask that your spirit leads each one of us. Remind us of what you want us to do. And Jesus, we ask that in your mighty name, in the name of Jesus, God. So yeah, let's just spend the next 5 minutes. Yeah, searching and asking him to remind us. Yeah. Yeah, if you feel anything, yeah, write it down and yeah, keep on. If you feel like a prayer to pray out, feel free to pray out and yeah. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, we just thank you. We thank you that we're following you, wherever that leads. If that leads to Belgium, if that leads to a different state outside the United States, if that leads to Africa or to South America, we are with you and we're following you. And Jesus, we ask that. We thank you for that. In your mighty name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.